Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Church in Tupper Springs, Ohio, where our mission is connecting people to God. I'm very excited to share the Word of God with you today because I believe God's Word is a powerful weapon designed by the Father to set the captives free. I trust the Holy Spirit will anoint this message and it will personally minister to you and set you free. God bless and enjoy this message.
Praise God. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. This morning has already been very interesting.
Indeed.
The way God has been moving. And, we have a new brother in Christ. Joey this morning made a commitment to Jesus
Hallelujah.
Christ.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
That's so good.
Now we have a responsibility to pray for him, encourage him, stand with him. Amen? Yes. The kingdom of God is at hand.
Amen.
And we have a responsibility to promote that kingdom. Glorify the name of Jesus Christ. You know, my message this morning, I'm going to actually be talking about prophet, the office of prophet and the gift of prophecy. But as we started a couple weeks ago, a stone cut without hands. And basically that is referring to Christ and the kingdom of God that is going to come. Jesus came early on as to over 2,000 years ago as the cornerstone, but he will be that stone that crushes all the kingdoms of this earth and will grow to fill this whole earth, his kingdom. And within that, there are certain things that are happening today in the church of Jesus Christ that allow us to recognize that our God is still working and he is still on the throne. And part of that, and one of those things, is prophecy and the gift of prophecy and the office of the prophet. You know, there's several offices in the church: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Now, for the most part, we have, as a church, we've embraced the pastor and the evangelist, but for some reason over the years, we have put aside the apostle and the prophets in the church. Now, that's not true overall. There's been a growing movement over the past probably 30 years of the apostleship and the prophetic office being renewed in the church. But it's something that is really important for the church to be recognized that is a part of what we are supposed to embrace is the apostolic ministry and the prophetic ministry. And the prophetic ministry, one of the reasons I wanted to share some of the things I'm going to share is because we have a summit coming up on the 3rd, next Sunday, where the prophetic word is going to be released in this place and in people's lives. And it's going to be an exciting time. Pastor Otis, do you have anything you'd like to share about that? This is just spur of the moment. I did not prime him for this.
I'm never short on words. No. No, you're right, Pastor. It's such an awesome time. And I will tell you, Ivy really has taken the lead on this. And we've worked well together and done a lot of work in listening to the Lord and what he wants to have. But that's one of those situations where the Lord told Abraham, listen to your wife. And there's some things she had in her spirit. And she said, baby, why don't we do this? And we start praying about it. And I listened to my wife because there was wisdom there. And so expect to hear a powerful word from God, a powerful presence of the Lord in the place. Come ready to be liberated. We already consider ourselves free, but we still have areas to be freed up in. And so there's going to be a beautiful atmosphere set in here. Alan Kisner is going to be on the keys leading us in worship and may have some members from the praise team. Come expecting, because it's going to be a very powerful time. Ivy's still over there. Ivy, you want to throw anything in here real quick? I did it. All right, she gave me a couple things I could say, and I didn't want to go. No, I'm teasing. But seriously, it's going to be an awesome time, and just in the times we've been preparing for it, we have seen God move. Even though we said it was practice, and let's God has been moving. And so come expecting. And I just thank you, Pastor, for allowing things like this to take place in the church.
It's exciting. Absolutely. Amen. Boy. Okay, so we're just going to try to jump right into this. I'm going to do just a real quick review. The first thing we talked about was God being in control. Nothing in this world happens without God's permission. That doesn't necessarily mean that he puts his stamp of approval on it, but nothing happens without his permission. Everything belongs to him. He controls or allows every event and every ruler in this world. Whether we like it or not, that is a fact. Daniel 2:20 makes that perfectly clear. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of the God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and he raises up kings. He tears them down and he raises them up." He actually told in this particular scripture and teaching that we're talking about, he actually told Nebuchadnezzar that God allowed him, placed him as the ruler of the whole empire of Babylon, the whole known world of that time. So Babylon was a great empire, one of the greatest empires ever to rule on the face of the earth, and Nebuchadnezzar was the king of that empire. He was a pagan. He was a worshiper of Baal and other gods, false gods. But God still allowed him to become the leader of Babylon at that time. So we have to recognize that the things that are happening in this world are still under the control of our God.
Yes.
It may seem like it's out of control. It may seem like it's chaos. But our God has everything under control. It's all in his hand. And we can trust him.
Yes.
Psalms chapter 50, verse 10 says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills." Everything belongs to God. Now, we all like to believe that we own things. You know, Tammy and I just purchased a new truck. And I like to say it's mine. But it's not. God has allowed me to have that. He loans it to me. In fact, even our children are a loan from God.
That's right.
Our families. If we can catch hold of the reality of this fact that God has everything in control and God allows us to have what we have, we are only stewards walking on the face of this earth, and recognize that he has given us the responsibility to be the best steward we can be over the possessions that he has given us. This church is God's, and we better act like it's God. Jesus said, "I will build my church." Not man, not Pastor Rob can't build a church. Nobody here can build a church. All we can do is do what the Lord has commanded us to do, and that's share the word of God. All right, so we looked at some things. The last time we looked at sin, iniquity, transgression, how important it is for us to remove those things out of our lives. I want to make it very clear what my message was that couple of weeks ago, and that is that Jesus Christ is the answer. Jesus, you must first come to Jesus. You must be born again, is what he told Nicodemus. You have to make that transition in your life from ruling your own life to allowing Jesus Christ to rule your life. It's the only way. But then also we have, in those scriptures that I shared with you, we have a responsibility that if the Holy Spirit shows us iniquity, sin, some kind of transgression in our life, we have the responsibility to deal with that and have the Holy Spirit help us to do that. And the way we do that is we have a gift called the Holy Spirit that leads and directs us. So the Father, my reason for telling that story about the Olympic runner was that his father came down and put his arm around him and helped him across the finish line. The Father will come and help us. Even though we're lame, Even though we may have pulled a hamstring or whatever it is, we become lame in this life. We are lame, whether we like it or not. We are not as strong as some think they are. But the Father will always come alongside us, embrace us, and take us across that finish line. We're going to win. We win in the end.
Yes, we do.
We win this battle.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
We win.
All right. Well, so the second thing we're looking at, God reveals the future to his servants. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're looking at 2 Daniel 24 through 30. I'm sorry, Daniel, 2nd chapter 24 through 30. There isn't a 2nd Daniel.
Not in the Bible.
Yeah, I'm going to have to write that one in. Daniel chapter 2, verse 24 through 30. Therefore, Daniel went to Arioch when the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation." Now, I don't want to go through a whole lot here. I just want to briefly share. The king's had a dream. He wants the wise men, his astrologers, his astronomers, his soothsayers, to interpret, to tell him what the dream is, not just interpret it, but tell him what the dream is and interpret the dream. And of course, they say, "We can't do that." And the king is furious with them because he thought they were wise men. He's paying them a lot of money. They're on his payroll. He's taking care of them. And he expects certain things from them. And they're not able to deliver because they're not as wise as they make themselves out to be. Listen, there's been some studies done on people who make prophecy, psychics, not people in the body of Christ, but psychics who supposedly speak into people's lives. And the statistics say that they are only about 8% right in regards to the things that they say about people. And usually that's because of just circumstance or because they have some foreknowledge of the situation that the person is in. They're fakes. They're false. But the Word of God is real. And the prophetic voice, the prophet, and the gift of prophecy is real in the body of Christ. But there are some things that we have to recognize, that we have to, some guidelines. Pastor Otis and Sister Ivy have shared some of these teachings. I'm sure that this is just going to be a review. But I want to share some things with you this morning. Let's finish reading this. Then Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king and said thus to him, "I have found a man of the captives of Judah who will make known to the king the interpretation." The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, it was changed from Daniel to a Babylonian name to line up with their god Baal, "Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation?" Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the vision of your head upon your bed were these. As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this. And he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living, but for our sake who made known the interpretation to the king, that you may know the thoughts of your heart. And Daniel is saying that he doesn't have any more wisdom than anybody else, except God has imparted this wisdom to him. And he's able to interpret this dream. And later on, we're going to go through this dream that was historically confirmed. But when it was given, none of the things that we will see later had taken place. the gift of prophecy. However, the prophet, Daniel was a prophet, and all through the Old Testament there were prophets. And many would tell you today that the office of prophet is no longer an office in the church. That is not true. The scripture is very clear. There is still an office of the prophet, and there is prophetic gift of prophecy, which is actually two different things that operate in the church. The prophet, the gift of prophet is very, very important. There are false prophets. Believe it or not, there are false prophets in the church today. And there's false prophecies that go forth. We have to be careful. We have to have wisdom. We have to discern these things. There are ways for us to do that. In fact, there was false prophets in the day, in this day. Some of the false prophets in Judah had prophesied to Zedekiah, the king of Judah, that they would be able to defeat Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. And in reality, that was a false prophecy. God had told people like Micah, Habakkuk, Jeremiah, that this was not going to happen, that they were to surrender to the Babylonians and they would be treated well. Well, instead, they rebelled. And they were punished because of their rebellion. So false prophets and false prophecy is nothing new in the church of Jesus Christ. It's been around for as long as the church has been established and even before. Amos 3:7, however, says this, "Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets." He's revealing secrets to his servants. Hallelujah. We can trust that God has people placed in the church. We have people in this church that are walking in the office of prophet. Sister Ivy is a prophet or prophetess, however you want to refer to. Sister Linda Well has been a prophet to this church for many years. And there may be others. I don't know right now, but God is using these people to prophetically speak both in my life and to the life of this church.
Amen.
And they're people that we can trust that they're placed in this office and they're placed here at this church for a purpose so that we can hear from God. Acts chapter 21, verse 10 and 11 says this. "As we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judah. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, 'Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.'" This is kind of an ominous prophecy that was given to the Apostle Paul. Paul was determined to go back to Jerusalem and preach the gospel. But the prophet said, "This is what's going to happen to you if you go." But Paul felt that God was calling him to do so. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. He was bound and he was taken to Rome. He was put in the hands of the Gentiles. However, while he was there and during this whole process, God used him in a mighty way. He spoke into people's lives all along the way in the journey to Rome. And then once he got there, he ministered to hundreds of different people coming to his house and ministering to them. God used him in a great way. But this was a warning. I'm sharing this with you because I want you to see in the early church, as the church was established, the office of prophet was there. Acts chapter 15, verse 32. "Now Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets, also exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words." I'm just confirming this office is alive and well in the church. 21:8-9. "On the next day, we were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of seven, and stayed with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied." Once again, here we see they were walking in this prophetic office. Four daughters of Philip the Evangelist, and they operated according to the will of God. The office of prophet can be filled by male or female. God's no respecter of persons. He calls people to use this gift in the body of Christ. But most important, the New Testament confirms that this office is alive and well today in the church.
Yes,
I think that's very important that we accept that and we recognize that. Ephesians 4:11 says this, "And he himself gave some to apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." I've already spoke about that and explained that scripture. 2 Corinthians 12:28 says, "And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues." There's several things in there that make people cringe in the body of Christ. But I want you to know, listen, the church is not supposed to be a place where we come in, we sit down, we cross our arms, and we look like we've been sucking on pickles, you know?
Right.
That's not what the church is all about. We're supposed to come in here. We're supposed to rejoice, give God glory,
yes,
because he's moving in our life. Praise him and watch him move through spiritual gifts.
That's right.
Through interpretations of tongues. I know that scares people, but it's real.
Right.
It's a part of who we are. Through prophetic utterance that speaks into people's lives and gives them a hope and a future. Amen. Through miracles, through signs and wonders, through awesome times of worship. We're here. We're alive. The church of Jesus Christ must be alive, not dead.
Yes, sir.
Death comes from hell. Life comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. The enemy comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yes, sir. Come on.
But Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. That's why when we come together, we can worship and act like we have an abundant life.
Come on. Yes,
amen.
Sir. Yes, sir.
We're alive in Christ. Praise you, Lord. So not only do we have the office of prophet, but we have something called the gift of prophecy that is released in a congregation. And now there are certain things, certain guidelines that you have to learn and be able to put into place in order to prophesy and do it according to the will of God. I'm sure that all of you, most of you probably know that if you have a word for this congregation, the only way I know how to put it is that I require that you come and talk to me first. Very seldom have I ever shut somebody down and said, no, we're not going to do that. I have to hear from God. But we want to do things decent and in order.
That's right.
So if you have a word that you need to share with the congregation, you just come talk to me or whoever happens to be in charge. That maybe Pastor Otis is the one. I'm not here. You come to him and share it. And we'll get it taken care of. We'll do it decent and in order. And everyone will be exhorted and encouraged because of it. So we have this gift. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 17 says this, "And it shall come to pass in those last days, said God, that I shall pour out my spirit on all flesh." Now, it's not going to be poured out on a few, just pastors and teachers and apostles and evangelists. His spirit is poured out on all flesh,
mm-hmm,
all people, all humans,
that's right,
male and female. And we'll see that here in just a moment. All of God's people receive the Spirit of God, and that Spirit is poured out upon us. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Hallelujah. Your young men shall see visions. Yes, praise God. How many of you young men are seeing visions? Young women. Hallelujah. Roger, you see any visions? You have dreams. Got to put you in the old man category then. Okay. Hallelujah. Listen, this is real, and he wants us stirred up in our life. Now, listen, I don't believe that God is just saying that he's only going to give young men visions and old men dreams. But he's saying that these things are going to happen to his people.
That's right.
But he goes on to say, young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those last days, and they shall do what? Prophesy. Prophecy is an important part of our life here in the body of Christ. Now, this is the New King James. The King James says servants and bond servants or handmaids. I believe it. The King James says handmaids. But this New King James rendering of this, men servants and maid servants, is a proper rendering of it. The doulos means a slave, a bond man, and doule is the feminine noun, and it means a female slave or a bond maid, a bond woman. So the way this is put, and on my men servants, my men are going to prophesy. Men are going to have the Spirit of God poured out on them. Women are going to have the Spirit of God poured out on them. You realize that that really shook the church of Jesus Christ in the founding of the church in those early days. Because women were not supposed to be used to do very much of anything. It was all a masculine society. It was all about men being called of God. But God shook their beliefs and their foundational principles and established new rules and said, everybody is going to be equal in the body of Christ. Men are going to be used and women are going to be used. And they're going to prophesy and they're going to share the word of God. And they're going to do incredible things. All they have to do is believe and walk in it. Okay, so what I want to try to establish here is that if you're a woman in here, raise your hand. Okay, good. If you're a man, raise your hand. Good. Hallelujah. We have just established that every person in here is supposed to be used by God, and you shall prophesy. Praise God. Now, it was necessary that I do that because in these days, you just never know what somebody's going to identify with. But we are men and women of God. Amen. And we're going to walk in the Spirit and we're going to operate in the Spirit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Glory. Let me share a couple more scriptures. But the manifestation of the Spirit. This is 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. Is given to each one for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing each one individually as he wills. It's the Holy Spirit that distributes those things, but we must recognize that these gifts are available. These gifts are prevalent in the body of Christ. And they Amen. Should be operating not only in this place, but in our life as we go out there right. into the world. When you encounter a situation and you need a word of wisdom, you can have a word of wisdom. God has promised you it's going to come. You need knowledge, it's going to come. You need to lay hands on the sick and pray for their healing. You have that ability. These gifts are available to God's people. These are our tools that are meant to be used for ministry as we walk through this world. It's not tools just for a select group. people who are up front ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. These are tools for the body of Christ. And when we begin to use these tools wherever we go, we're going to shake this world. Amen. People are going to wonder, what is going on? How is it that these people can do these things? How is it they can know these things? How is it that they can speak these things? So let's look this morning at some guidelines for personal prophecy, and I'm going to try to go through this real quick this morning. I'm running out of time. Let me see real quick here. All right. First of all, personal prophecy is not intended to direct your life. And I mean that by saying it is not totally what you should direct your life with. It should never be the sole reason that you make a life-altering decision just because somebody gave you a personal prophecy. If somebody tells you that you're supposed to move to Haiti and be a missionary, and God hasn't placed that in your heart, do not pick up everything and go to Haiti. Amen? If God has not spoke to you first, this is what's really important. God uses prophetic utterance to confirm in your life what He has already spoken to your heart for. And if it's not a confirmation, you just put it aside and you wait until God begins to speak to you about it. I'm not saying that it may not be a word from God. I'm just saying that you got to wait until you're hearing from God to line up with it. Okay? This is really, prophecy should only confirm what God is saying to you. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8 through 12. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. This is important. You see, we're not getting the full picture when we prophesy. We know in part, so we're just prophesying in part of what we know. When that which is perfect comes, then that which is in part will be done away. What is perfect? Jesus, the kingdom of Jesus, of Christ. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. We see in part. We know in part. The scripture is very, very clear. We do not see clearly. When we are prophesying to people, we do our very best to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. But we don't see it all clearly. And what we share with, what is shared with individuals may not be, as clear as it needs to be. But only you can clarify that. When somebody says to you, this morning something was said in regards to something that was seen. They saw a wall and searching for a door, finding that door, coming into the light of Jesus Christ. You know, that seems kind of weird, doesn't it? We might be just searching. But the reality is only the person that is spoken to can confirm that, yeah, that's kind of the way, that's the way I've been feeling. That's right. So even though that was spoken and he didn't understand and have a complete understanding what was spoken, I've heard people say things before, this is what I see, this is what I feel, this is what God is speaking to me. I don't understand it. Maybe you will. And the other person said, yes. I do. It makes sense to me. What we have to understand is that personal prophecy is given by humans under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It has to be. It contains the word of the Lord for you in your situation. But because it's given through human flesh, frail flesh, It contains sometimes a mixture of just opinions or emotions, things that we try to apply to it. That's why it's so important that when you learn to give prophetic utterance, that you do not try to interpret that. Mm-hmm. That's not your place.
That's right. That's right.
Your place is to give it.
Leave it alone.
Let God do it. Yeah, let God speak it. You got to leave it alone, because if you think you're going to interpret it, unless God speaks directly to you about an interpretation, you should leave it alone. Romans 12:6 says, having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Listen, this is a very important part of prophecy, because we prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. Sometimes we're walking in greater faith than we are other times. That's just a reality of this walk that we go through. Therefore, our prophetic gifting sometimes is brought forth in greater faith. Other times, that faith is waning a little. So that's why it's so important that we recognize that this gift is not always completely clear and understood. Prophecy, however, is very important. The gift of prophecy and the office of prophets is a gift given by the Holy Spirit to the church of Jesus Christ today, so that we can walk in the power and the will of God. Through my life, I have had numerous prophecies about the direction that God was going to lead me. And every time, those prophecies were very similar. And I knew that it was of God, because God had already spoken to my heart the direction that He was going to take me. I knew in advance that I was going to start pastoring. Even though I fought against it, I tried to run from it, I didn't want it, but I knew in advance that God was calling me into the ministry. Not just because of the prophecy, but because He had spoken to my heart. So I stand here before you today as fulfillment of the prophetic gift that was poured out on other people to speak into my life. I believe it's real. You know, I've experienced it. Mm-hmm. I know what it's like. And I grab hold of it. Here's what you got to do. When it speaks to you, you grab hold of it and you hold on to it. Mm-hmm. And you let it lead you throughout your life.
That's right. That's a good word, Pastor.
The second thing I want to share with you this morning, personal prophecy of a gift that should be desired. 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. One of the great things about learning to prophesy here is that Pastor Otis and Ivy have the prophetic class, Insights Prophecy class. If you have a desire to increase your ability to be able to walk in the gift of prophecy, sign up. Get involved with that class. Be a part of it, because you will learn and grow and expand your ability to be able to speak into other people's lives. Amen. The next thing I want to talk to you about personal prophecy is it's a gift that should be judged. When someone speaks a prophetic word to you, you really need to share that gift. If it's in the congregation, it can be judged by the people. Spiritual leaders in the church, other prophets, they can judge that word and help you through it. If somebody comes to you and gives you a prophecy outside of the church, a prophetic word, don't just grab that prophecy and run with it. Take it to people that you trust, spiritual leaders who are strong, have a good, strong foundation, and let those people speak into your life in regards to that prophecy. Let them judge that prophecy. Lives have been totally destroyed by someone speaking a prophetic utterance into an individual's life that was totally off base, and they took it and they ran with it. Sometimes people have the best of intentions, but they share a word that does not apply to the individual. And then there are those who are false prophets who intentionally try to manipulate and control people. If you've run into someone like that, get away from them immediately. We have people in this congregation that have been in fellowships that were very controlling. They used prophecy and words of wisdom and knowledge to control people's lives. It saddens me that people feel like they have to stoop to such measures to have control over people's lives. We don't need to control anybody. I have a hard enough time controlling me. And her. I can't control her. Praise God, I don't have to. Holy Spirit does that. Amen. But we can't control each other. It baffles me why anybody wants to try to control other people. But the truth is, God is in control. And we allow Him to be in control. Phenomenal things can happen. Incredible prophetic utterance and miracles can take place. Remember this, personal prophecy will never contradict the Word of God. Absolutely never will. All right, I need to move on. Get this done. Personal prophecy also is a gift that is subject to those prophesying. This is an important part of operating in that gift. Because you see, many times, well, let me share the scripture with you. 1 Corinthians 14:32. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Now, many times people believe in the body of Christ, and I think we're kind of getting over this, but we believe that the only way that we move in the Spirit is if the Holy Spirit comes upon us like a demon and takes control of our body. That's the only way you're ever going to dance in the Spirit. That's the only way you're ever going to speak in tongues. That's the only way you're ever going to prophesy, is because the Spirit of God is forcing you to do it. That's not the way God operates. Right. The Holy Spirit is very much a gentleman. He comes and He leads us to do the things that He calls us to. If He's leading you to dance in the Spirit, guess what? He's not going to grab you and throw you up front and make you dance.
Right.
You're going to have to dance. If He's speaking to you to prophesy to someone or bring forth a prophetic utterance, He's not going to force you to open your mouth. I get this a lot of times with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gift of speaking in tongues, the prayer language. People seem to have this tendency to believe that because it's a gift of the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is going to force you to speak in a prayer language. Does not work that way. Every other thing in the body of Christ, you have to open your, just like with everything else in the body of Christ, you have to open your mouth and begin to speak. When Bob Taylor was baptized in the Holy Spirit, we were talking about it in a Bible study, a spiritual gifts class that we had, and I told him, I said, you know, Bob, what you have to do is just begin speaking. You have to open your mouth and begin to pray. And he said, okay. On his way home, he said he turned off to go to his house, from that point on, all the way home, he spoke in his prayer language because he opened his mouth.
That's right.
God doesn't force us to do anything. We're obedient. And let me tell you something. That gift of prayer language is a powerful gift that the enemy cannot hinder. Glory. It's powerful.
That's right.
And it's awesome to be able to seek the Lord and know that the enemy cannot intervene in our prayer. Sometimes he hinders us in our prayer. I don't know if you experience this often. I'm praying, I'm trying to seek God, and all of a sudden, I start thinking about something else, going off into another direction. Yeah. When you pray in the Spirit, the enemy can't stop what your spirit is saying to the Lord.
Right.
Hallelujah. Kathy Taylor, as she was going through chemo, and we just thank God for the miracle that has taken place in her life. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. As she was going through time to quit, I just got a couple more things to share with you. As she was going through chemo, she encountered a lot of patients, different patients, that needed to hear from the Lord. Now, Kathy has a gift. She hears from God. But often she would tell me the Lord would just give her a single word to speak to these people. And she would take that word and go and share it with them. And as she shared that word, then God would begin to do more and share more with her about that individual and be able to minister to that person. But this is a good example of, you know, you receive something, and if you use that gift, God expands it, and God gives you the ability to speak into people's lives. Kathy has been through her whole situation with chemo. She has been a true evangelist for the kingdom of God. And I'm very proud of her, because she would share with anybody, including the doctors, Jesus is on the throne.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, last thing I want to share with you this morning, personal prophecy is given to strengthen and comfort believers. 1 Corinthians 14, 2 and 3, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. The word comfort here, the Greek word, means for the purpose of persuading or arousing or stimulating. It can also mean calming and consoling. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to make you feel good all the time. Listen to what it says. You're going to be edified. You're going to be exhorted. Exhortation sometimes comes in the form of correction. Comfort sometimes comes in the form of correction and discipline from the Lord. So not every word. Now, I will say this. In most cases, when the gift of prophecy is in operation in the body of Christ, it is normally a word of encouragement, exhortation, comforting words. However, for the most part, when a word is brought that is for the purpose of correcting an individual or correcting the body, that comes from the prophetic office most of the time. Would you agree with that? Yes. Okay. All right. So it's important that we understand that we don't want to get off into this realm where we're allowing our flesh to get in the way and think that we can go to someone and get them straightened out, you know. Work on your own life. Let the Holy Spirit straighten you out. That's much more important. If you get yourself straightened out, God can handle the rest of it. These gifts, this gift is a part of what we do here at Bethel for the purpose that the body of Christ will be lifted up, encouraged, and we will become exhorted to do the work of the kingdom of God. Let me share with you, as I wrap things up this morning, a situation where the pastor was operating in this prophetic gift, and he rebuked some people. Early in his career, how many know Matt Redman, the singer? You heard of him? Okay. Well, Matt Redman's the one that wrote the song The Heart of Worship, and he's written a lot of other ones. But early in his career, he's British, so he was going to church in Great Britain. And he was singing with his church, and he was on the praise team. And his pastor came into them one day, and he said to the praise team, he said, "You know, you guys you're awesome. You do a fantastic job of worshiping God, and you have a lot of talent." But he said, "I believe the Holy Spirit's revealed to me that you're too proud of your performance. And this is not about performance. It's about worship. And you're neglecting true worship." Well, that insulted the worship team. Everyone quit. Everyone except Matt Redman. Matt stayed behind. Matt received the rebuke and recognized that, hey, they needed to get their heart right with the living God. Shortly after that, that's when he wrote this song, The Heart of Worship, that was so powerful for the body of Christ. Let us not be so easily offended. Let the Holy Spirit speak to our lives. Help us to recognize that there are times that we need correction. And God's going to speak some correction into our life. Let's get those things straightened out. Let's let the Holy Spirit deal with these issues. And let's move forward with the kingdom of God. Amen. Stand with me. Thank you, Lord.
Glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless your name, God. Oh. So good. So good.
Thank you, Lord.
We need your touch again.
Yeah, cool.
Holy Spirit.
I just want to encourage everyone to sign up for the summit. Be a part of that. You will truly enjoy yourself. God is going to speak and move in the lives of people here next Sunday evening.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.